Could turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to look at a very familiar passage of Scripture. I think one that is ever relevant to us as Christians, as we seek to know God's will, and as we look at the where we're at as a country, but also as a church and as Christians. Where is God leading? What is He doing? And the desire to know the direction that He is leading us in. And so the passage that we're going to look at is very familiar. If you could look at it, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6. Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." The title of the message that we're going to look at today is Trusting in the Lord for Direction. And I think that is something that is very relevant for us as for my family as missionaries, as we seek His will on the next step and as trying to get back to the Solomon Islands, is letting God guide the direction that we go in. And seeking His path, seeking His direction. Before we go into this message, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for how it can encourage us daily, how it can feed us with the spiritual food that we need. Lord, I pray that we would not depart from it and spiritually starve ourselves, Lord, but I pray that we will grow closer to it and we will read it and we will learn from it, we will study. To show ourselves approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed. Lord, we love You. We thank You so much for all that You've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. As Pastor said, we have a travel trailer. You can see it out there in the parking lot. And since for the 3 months that we have owned this travel trailer, it has taught me a lot. I have said that a travel trailer is sort of like a relationship. You learn it, and it teaches you a lot about yourself. There has just been several things that we've had to learn and we've had to adjust to and to be more flexible as we've traveled around the country and put several thousand miles already on this 20-year-old rig. It's taught us a lot of patience. But just a couple weeks ago, we were in Blairsville, Georgia. And how many of you have ever been to Blairsville area? It's been in the mountains of northern Virginia, and we have a sporting church smack dab in the middle of the mountains of northern Georgia. And as I was looking at this, I was trying to route my path to get to this church, and I know I had been there on deputation. I know this is not going to be a fun trip with my travel trailer, and so I decided, I contacted Dwight Smith, and I said, I know you've been to this church. I said, what route do you suggest? And he screenshotted me a picture of his map, and he said, this one looks less treacherous this from here. But he said, the guy you really need to talk to is, I don't know if you folks know him, but Thomas Engel. And he said, he's been there quite often. He knows this place in and out, and he knows the best routes, the best roads to get in and out of. And so I contacted Thomas. And Thomas, he sent me a very detailed list of every turn that I need to take, at which city I need to take it. And he said, this is the best route for a travel trailer. And the day came where we were coming in, and I followed his route. And it was the route that the GPS suggested as I was coming in from the west. But on the way out, coming to the east, that's where the GPS and Thomas Engel's directions started to conflict. And I remember we got to the point where Thomas Engel's directions split off from the directions of my GPS. And friends, can I tell you, if a GPS could have gotten mad, it would have started yelling at me, because we started going down the route that Thomas had told us to go, and it said, please, at the earliest convenience, take a U-turn. At the next turn, please, take a U-turn. And for probably 5 miles, it was, please take a U-turn. Please take a U-turn. And I watched, and I'm as a missionary, my big thing is watching the ETA. And I'm watching my ETA go up and go up and go up. And I'm thinking, oh no, we have made a mistake. and this is going to get us trapped, and we're going to be way out of the way than where we need to be. But then I sat, as I was driving, and I was thinking, I was like, you know, Thomas has done this before. He's driven this route. He's seen this road. All I can see from the GPS is looking straight down from the satellite. But what I can't see is the grade of the hills and the turns of the hills. What I can't see is how steep those hills are, how hard I need to brake, and where I need to be and how I need to drive my trailer. But Thomas has been there. He's seen this. He knows. He's been there. He's seen it. He's driven this path before, and I need to rely on his directions. Friends, as we go through life, and as we walk the paths that our lives will take us, we have a God who has been there. Amen. He's been through the trials of life. Jesus Christ has lived the human life on earth. He has faced the trials of life. He's been there. But now we have a God who also sees the beginning. He sees the context of the problems that we face in life. He sees the present situations that we're facing, but he also sees the future outcome of every situation. He has the whole picture that we do not have. And here we see in the passage of Scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, the Bible gives us something very pointed. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Why? Because he's seen everything. He knows what we're going to face. He knows what we have faced. He knows the trials that we're going to have to go through. He knows the outcome of every situation that we will ever go through. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He is all-powerful. He knows everything. And this is the God who the Bible here is telling us to put our trust in. As we look at this passage of Scripture, the first thing that I want us to see is, as the Bible tells us to trust in the Lord, the first thing that we need to realize is that it takes a decision. We need to make that decision that no matter the problems that we face, the trials that we'll run into, the decisions that we have to face in life, we have to make that most important decision that no matter what may happen, we're going to trust in the Lord. As a problem arises, as a trial comes, the first person that we're going to seek out for help is the Lord. Amen. It's not going to be ourselves, our own strength, our most trusted confidant, our social media, what should I do? No, it's going to be the Lord. It needs to be the Lord. There must be a decision. If you go to your, if you look at your Bible app on your phone, or if you look at your Bible program on your computer, and you go and you type in search Scripture, and you type in the words "trust in the Lord," I guarantee you there will be a long list of verses that will talk about trusting in the Lord. Just a few of them say here, Psalms chapter 37, verse 3. It says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Then it says here, "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Friends, we have to commit our way unto the Lord. No matter where this walk in life, our walk in life takes us, we are going to commit our life to the Lord. "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Psalms chapter 56, verse 11, it says, "In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." Psalms chapter 73, verse 28, it says, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord, that I may declare all thy works." Psalms chapter 112, verse 7, it says, "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord." I think of the three Hebrew children. We say three Hebrew children, but what these men did proved that they were men. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3, where they stood before the king and they refused to bow down to the king's altar, to the king's statue. And he gave him a second chance. He said, "You heard the music the first time, you didn't bow down. I'm going to give you one more chance that when you hear the music, you're going to bow down." And their response was to the king was, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." These three Hebrew men, they put their complete trust in God's direction. They knew that at this point, there are only two things that's going to happen. The king will have mercy, or we're going to end up in that burning fiery furnace. But they said one thing that's not going to happen in their mind is we're not going to bow down. We're not going to go back on our faith in God. We're going to keep our commitment to God here. We're going to keep it in our hearts. We're going to stay faithful to God. One amazing thing that I just love, one of my favorite instances in all the Bible, is we know the end result of this passage of Scripture. We know what happened is the three Hebrew men were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. And after King Nebuchadnezzar looked in and saw that the men were not being consumed by the fire, but there was not only three men, there were four men, and the fourth was like unto the Son of God, and he brought them out of the fire. The king's words said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who's changed the word of a king." Think about that. These three Hebrew men, they stood up for what they believed in. They put their trust in God in very stressful circumstances. And because of that, they were able to change the words of a king. They did not let the fear of man change the direction that they were going. They did not let the fear of pain and physical torment change the direction that God had for them. They relied on God. You say, if I trust in the Lord, will it take away my problems? Will it erase my debts? Will it remove mean people or difficult people from my life? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5 through 9, it says of such, Paul here is talking about the thorn in the flesh that he had. And he says, "Of such and one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Unless I should be exalted above measure, though the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Many people, theologians debate on what this thorn in the flesh really was. I'm not going to get into that today. But what I can tell you is it caused Paul a great deal of pain. It was no fun what he was going through. He did not enjoy it, and he wanted it to be gone. And here we see, he said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Friends, can I tell you, we serve a God who is completely 100% capable of removing problems from our life. But by us trusting the Lord, it does not always guarantee that that will do so. Oftentimes, what will happen is God will give us the strength to walk through those infirmities, to walk through those trials, to walk through those hard times as we are trying to seek direction. I love the last part of this. It says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Who is the power that we're taking notice of? Is it the power of Paul and his ability to walk through hard times? No. He's saying what people are seeing in me is not my power, is not my intelligence, not my ability to get through problems, but it's the power of Christ. Friends, as we go through life, as we go through hard times, and as we rely on God, it's not our power, it's not our abilities that people are seeing, but it's the power of Christ. It's a testimony that we are giving to the people around us. As we walk through trials, as we put our trust in the Lord. The Bible says, trust in the Lord. So there must be a decision. We must make that decision before any trials or any hard times come. We're going to make that decision to trust in the Lord. But we also see that there must be a determination. What does the Bible say? Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. When I was, my wife and I, we were in the last day before our wedding. It was, so we were doing our rehearsal, and my brother, my oldest brother, he was the officiant of our wedding, and he made sure that when we came to the rehearsal, we brought the rings. He said, because I have seen too many weddings where the ring ceremony was botched. And he said, we're going to make sure that we have the handoff just right and everything's good, so we're not going to have a ring rolling down the aisle or anything like that. He said, I want to make sure that everything's good on that. Well, after the rehearsal was over, I put the rings, not very smart, but I put the rings on the front pew, and I forgot about them. And then I went off and I spent some time with my friends. We went and played, we shot some skeet and played volleyball and had some pizza. And it was a good time. Well, before we got back, before I went home to get some sleep, I remembered on my way home, oh, I left the rings on the front pew of our church. And I need to go get those and make sure that I have those in my possession. And so I went into the front. I went to the front pew, and to my horror, they were gone. And so I thought maybe my dad. This was at my home church. Maybe my dad grabbed the rings and put them in his office. And I went to the drawer where he puts things that he never wants to lose. I opened that drawer; they were gone. And I thought, well, maybe he put them behind one of his books. And so I started pulling out books. They were not there. My dad has a library of 2,000 books. At least. And so I started going through this, and I was doing everything I could. And I went through that whole church just looking at different places with all of my heart. The only thing on my mind was being able to find those rings. And I did not want to call my future wife and let her know that I've lost the rings the night before our wedding. And so I was doing everything I could to find these rings. Finally, I had to call my fiance, my wife, and let her know. And she called her mom. She called a couple of her friends to see if they had grabbed the rings. I finally called my dad. I called my brother. Well, finally, I thought to call my best man. And it turned out that my best man had decided, oh, yeah, I thought it was my job to take the rings, but he didn't tell me that he thought it was his job to take the rings. I told him, I said, I need to have the rings. I need to know that you have the rings in your eyesight. And he went and he said, I'm looking at them right now. And so everything was fine. But as we were going through that and I was trying to find the rings, nothing else was on my mind. My mind was 100% determined to find those rings. Friends, as we go through life and as we face trials and as we face a decision that needs to be made, and we're facing a choice that we need to make, we need to have a determination to trust in the Lord. We need to have a tunnel vision on the Lord and say, Lord, you need to show me where to go here. Don't let the influences of this world influence the decision that you need to make. Don't let the influences of the world be the ones that you look to for encouragement, because they cannot give the encouragement, they cannot give the direction that God can give. We need to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. So we see that there will be direction. That there will be dependence. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 73, verse 25, it says, whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. Friends, can I tell you that as we go through life and as we encounter problems, the size of the problems that we face should never be a decision-making matter in whether we trust in the Lord or not. The big problems, the small problems, each of them qualify to be brought before the Lord. What does the Bible say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. In all of our problems, in all of our ways, we need to trust in the Lord. And the big problems and the small problems and what we would think would be the hard problems, those are easy, sometimes easy to say, okay, we need God for this. But we need God for the small problems too, the everyday things, the things that we might consider the mundane tasks. We need to pray. And friends, it takes discipline to do that. But the Bible says, whom have I in heaven but thee? and there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. God needs to be our number one desire. And if God is our number one desire, it'd be much easier for us to ask him for the everyday things that we face and ask him for that help through the everyday things. But we also see that there must be a dependence. The Bible says, and lean not unto thine own understanding. This is one area of this passage that I struggle with on a frequent basis. It is really easy to go through life and to lean on my own understanding. It is really easy to go through the mundane tasks that we were just talking about and just go through it with my own understanding. But friends, what we need to realize is that life can get messy very quickly. Life can get hard. Life can get difficult very quickly. And we need to have that habit of trusting the Lord. We need to have that habit of not leaning on our own understanding. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 73 and verse 26, it says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Our heart and our flesh, they're weak. They cannot deal. They cannot hold and hold against the struggles and the trials that this life will bring. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26, it says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. The Bible's very clear. Those that trust in their own heart and their own understanding and their own power, it's foolish. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Growing up, my grandpa lived in, my mom's father lived in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And he was a farmer in that area. And as the grandkids would come, his grandkids would come to his house, he would often say, well, I'm going to go check the fences. I just now realized, I just was told a couple weeks ago that what that meant, that was code for, I need a break from all the chaos going on with my grandkids. So checking the fences was code. But oftentimes I would have the privilege to go check the fences with Grandpa. I didn't know that I was jumping in on his time of solace and retreat. But I remember one specific time we were going through checking the fences, and he said, he would often talk about this passage of Scripture. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 was his favorite verse. And he said, he looked at me one time and he said, son, you know Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6? I said, yes, sir, Grandpa, I do. He said, you know the part where it says, and lean not unto thine own understanding? I said, yes, I do. He said, you know what that's like? I said, what's that like, Grandpa? And he said, you see that little sapling oak tree over there? He said, I want you to go put all of your weight on that oak tree, on that little sapling tree right there. And it was about a quarter in diameter. And he said, and so I did. And at the time, I was about 90 pounds. And I went and put all of my weight on there. And what do you think happened to that oak tree? It snapped. It was unable to bear the weight of the pressure that I put on it. It was unable to hold my weight. And he said, lad, that's what's going to happen every time you lean on your own understanding. He said, the pressures of this life, the difficulties of this life will come, and your understanding is incapable of bearing it. He said, that's why we need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And he said, you know what leaning on God is like? I said, what's that like? He said, you see that big old oak tree over there? And there's this big old oak tree, and even now, if I went to that oak tree today as a grown man and I tried to give it a hug, I probably couldn't reach halfway around it. It was a huge oak tree. And he said, I've been on this property for over 50 years. And he said, it was big when I bought this property. He said, I cannot tell you how deep its roots run and how wide its roots spread. But he said, son, I can tell you, I've seen this tree go through storm after storm after storm after storm, and it's still there. And he said, it is solid. It is grounded. And he said, even more so, he said, that's what it's like when we put our trust in God. He said, there is no telling to how deep his wisdom is and how strong he is our finite minds cannot fathom his strength and his wisdom. And that is the God who the Bible is telling us to put our trust in. And that Bible is telling us to not lean on our own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. So there must be dependence, but we also see that if we make the decision to trust in the Lord, and there's a determination to that decision, and there's a dependence on that decision, the Bible tells us that we will have direction. The Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. All thy ways acknowledge him. Think about that. In all of our ways, wherever life may take us, acknowledge him. Acknowledge means to look to him, look for him in every area of life, in the hard times and the good times, look for him. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And what does it say? He shall direct thy paths. Friends, I was telling you that if you go to your Bible program and you type in the words, trust in the Lord, and you read verse after verse at how it tells you to trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord. Every single verse always follows with a positive outcome. There is not one time where you will read in Scripture, trust in the Lord, and you're going to regret it. Every single time that it says trust in the Lord, it is followed with a positive promise. Trust in the Lord and you will be fed. Trust in the Lord and you will be blessed. Trust in the Lord and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. And here we see trust in the Lord and he'll give you direction. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Friends, it's so easy in this life for us to let the fear of man direct our paths, or for us to let human reasoning direct our paths, or just plain fear of the unknown to direct our paths, or anxiety or stress to direct our paths. But friends, the one who we need to direct our paths is the Lord. The Lord God, the one who sees the beginning, the past of a situation, the present of a situation, and the end of a situation all at one time. He knows the whole picture. He sees the whole picture. And that is who the Bible is telling us that we need to lean on, the one who we need to trust in. In closing, Psalms chapter 37, verse 23, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Amen. Friends, the Bible is clear that there is delight in knowing that our steps are ordered by the Lord. There is delight. There is happiness in knowing that the path that I'm going right now is exactly where God wants me to be. Amen. And also there is a peace knowing I'm happy because I am doing what God wants me to do, because I am following his path. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And one last verse that I want us to look at, if you could take the time to turn there, turn to Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, it says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. So the Bible here is telling us things that we should not glory in. Glorying is giving us the idea of boasting or putting a lot of confidence in that. The Bible's being very clear to us that our wisdom, we should not boast in our wisdom. It's good to have an education. It's good to learn things. It's good to be educated and to be learned about the current things in our world. But we're not to boast in it. It says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. But it also says, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. It's good to be strong. It's good to be healthy. But we're not to boast in that. We're not to put confidence in that. But then it also says, but let not the rich man glory in his riches. I believe that there's been a false sense of a security, especially in this country, established by what's in our bank account. It's good to be, again, it's good to be financially secure and to be financially wise and make good financial decisions. But the Bible, again, is telling us to not boast into that, not glory in what is in our bank account, not glory in our strength, to not glory in our wisdom. You say, so we can't glory in our wisdom and our strength and in our riches. Brother Dietrich, then what are we to glory in? Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, verse 24 answers that question. It says, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. So we're not to glory in our wisdom. We're not to glory in our strength. We're not to glory in our riches. But we are to glory in our relationship with God. We're to glory in the fact, we're to boast in the fact that we understand and we know God, that we have a relationship with him. Friends, as we are going through trials in life or we facing difficult circumstances, boasting in our strength and in our wisdom and in our riches will not get us any help. But looking to our relationship with God and relying on that and boasting in that and glorying in our relationship with God, that is where we will see the Lord, that he exercised loving kindness, righteousness, and judgment in the earth. One thing that I also noticed as I was studying this specific passage is that God is always exercising his loving kindness, his righteousness, and his judgment in the earth, no matter what is happening. No matter how dark the world can be, God is always working. But we also see at the very end of this verse, for in these things I delight. God loves to exercise himself to his children. God loves to show himself strong. God loves to hear his children cry out to him and say, God, I need help. I need your wisdom. I need your direction. I need your peace. I need your encouragement. You know, as a dad, one of the things that, though I don't enjoy when my kids are hurting or when they're scared, one of the most satisfying things to me as a dad is to hear my kids wake up crying in the night and they've had a nightmare. But one of the things that I love to do is go and give my kids comfort and to be able to hug them and hold them and to get them to the point where they're able to go back to sleep again and where they can rest again. It's a very satisfying, I delight in that. God delights in giving his children comfort. In directing his children through the difficulties of life, God delights in that. So friends, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Pray that as we go out, we will have a renewed desire to, in every aspect of our life, we will have a renewed desire to trust in you. And the big things and the little things and the hard things and the small things, Lord, I pray that we will be faithful to that decision and we will have a determination and dependence on you to have direction in life. Lord, we love you. I thank you for how good you are to us, even when we do not deserve it. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.